And praise the Lord to all the wonderful saints of God that are here today in the house of God. Isn't there a beautiful presence of the Lord here in the house of God today? I felt a wonderful presence of the Lord the very moment that I stepped upon the platform this morning. And they were just starting the church service right after prayer. Brother Hyler did a wonderful job of leading prayer this morning. Amen. That helps so very much when someone will come to the microphone and just kind of keep us on track and keep us going. And I appreciate that, Brother Hyler. That was so wonderful. Amen. We just heard a wonderful message preached. I'm telling you. I don't know. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap. That was a wonderful message. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Beautiful message. When a man preaches, I think sometimes in the congregation the way it works is this here. They either grow in your sight or they might decrease a little bit in your sight, not very much. But I'll tell you something, Brother Mullins was growing in my sight. I'm telling you, that was a beautiful Bible-based message. I appreciate the fact that he did not yield to the pressure of the hour to maybe preach something that would be the sugar stick and push all the right buttons and all that kind of stuff. But I believe he did the word of the Lord, and I believe he did the will of the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. I turned to Brother Brown a few moments ago, and I said to Brother Brown, Brother Brown, are you a California product, an Oregon product, a foreign field product? And he smiled, and he burst into a smile, and he said, I've been everywhere. And then he smiled bigger, and he said, I'm a product of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I want to say something about Brother Brown, and then I'm going to read my text and not make you stand for a long time. I really do appreciate him, because I have been in places that he did not know that he caught my attention. And this is the man that has followed Brother Paul Price. And that would not be easy shoes to fill. But I've been in conferences and places, and I've watched him. When no one else was maybe weeping, his hands would be in the air. He'd be weeping and tears flowing down his cheeks. I believe that Brother Clayton Brown, the man that led this spirit, is truly a very spiritual man and a very balanced man. And it's an honor today to be on a platform with men of this caliber. And we want to do the will of God. We're going to pray a prayer, and then I guess I'll even let you be seated before we read our text. But let us pray as we stand. I want you just to lift up your hands one more time. Would you offer up prayer unto God? Father, we love you. We thank you today. Father, we need the help of the Holy Ghost in this sacred moment. We need the touch of God to come upon each one of us that are here. We ask you, Master, for an anointing that will reach each and every one, O God. Anointing that is so much greater than up here on this platform, but that it will flow to every individual that is here. Father, there's those today that have needs in this congregation, and they came to camp meeting wanting some help from you. Father, would you give them the help that they come for today? Would you let the anointing of God touch their heart? Would you break every shackle? Would you write us, O God? Would you help us, Lord? Would you help us to recalculate and find our way in you, O God? Help us to be right with you, Lord. You're a wonderful God of excellence, and we want to praise you right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may all be seated. We're going to be reading this morning from the book of Luke, the 18th chapter. I'm going to read to you this morning about a statement and then a question and then the answer to a question. Amen. Reading from the Luke, the 18th chapter, verse number 1 says this. This is Jesus speaking. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and the same came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge has said. Hear the heart of God. Hear the expression of God.
be in tune today with the willingness of an almighty God. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect? In verse number 1, there was a statement that said that men ought always to pray. In the 7th verse, there is a question that is put forth here, and it says this, and shall not God. I am of them that believe that he shall. You are of them that believe that he shall. Amen. And shall not God, amen, and avenge his own elect, which cry unto him, though he bear long with them. That long is from the time you begin to pray until the day that God answers that particular prayer. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith upon the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. The statement, men ought always to pray. The question is, shall not God? And the answer is found, I tell you that he shall avenge them. Amen. Praise God. I'm here today with a little bit to give, but God is here today with a whole lot to give. God has more to give than we have to give. Amen. God today wants us to be in the position to be able to receive the things that God wants to give. Amen. I am today in the position to be able to help God, as it were, and I don't think God really needs me very much, but I'm thankful that God loves me, and I'm thankful that God loves you. We're here today, each one of us, to work in the program of God, not something that we ordained, but something that God ordained. Amen. I want to read a statement to you, and it says this here, the secret of abundant life is to abide in the vine. And the secret to abiding in the vine is obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. And the secret to obeying the Lord is loving him. Many people, their relationship is only as deep as obedience. And they start off within our churches so very, very fast. And they seem like a shooting star, as it was. And we're so proud of them. But they fade almost as quick as they turned bright. And they drift off somewhere. But the secret to obeying God is loving God. And the secret to loving God is knowing God. Amen. We are not like other people that say they know God because we really do know God. Amen. I remember the night that the Lord filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the greatest wonder of it all within my mind. I did not understand all that God did within my nature. I did not understand everything that God had destroyed and took away and so on and so forth. But I was jumping up and down when he filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost some 31 years ago. And I was saying, there really is a God. There really is a God. Amen. I'm glad today that I know him. Amen. And when you know him, it's easy to love him. Amen. And when you love him, you want to obey him. And when you obey him, it's just natural that we stay in the vine. Amen. So the secret of abiding in the vine, the secret of abundant life, is to abide in the vine. The secret to everlasting life is to abide in the vine. Amen. God doesn't give us a little life, but he's an abundant life. Amen. God's in the life-giving business, and he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are truth, and they are life. Say life. Hallelujah. We've got life within us. Amen. And the secret to loving him is knowing him. And the secret to knowing him, this is a relationship. This is a covenant with God. Amen. This is a covenant relationship between you and God. A beautiful relationship. Amen. Aren't you glad your partner is God? Amen. Aren't you glad your relationship is with God? Hallelujah. The devil cannot get you in a mess that God cannot get you out of. Amen. There's not a stain so deep that the blood of Jesus cannot penetrate it and eradicate it, amen, and take it away, hallelujah. This is a covenant relationship that's maintained by knowing the Lord, amen. I think that I would be classified in the minds of most people as a holiness preacher. I would be offended if someone did not think that I was a holiness preacher, amen. And if you're a holiness preacher, you've got to stand against many, many spirits, amen. And you can't always do what pleases the people, but you've got to do what pleases the Lord, amen. But I want you to know this. that the secret to relationship is found in prayer. The secret to knowing God is found in prayer. Amen. The secret to depth in God is found in prayer. The essence of holiness, true holiness, is not just something that is lived out on the outside, but it's an inward relationship down on the inside that is maintained by relationship with God. Amen. Is anybody glad that you're connected to God? Is anybody glad that God is your source? Amen. Hallelujah. If you was a peach farmer, I would say take good care of your source. Amen. And you'll get peaches on the tree one of these days. Amen. If you're a cherry farmer, and I've never had a cherry tree even in my yard, but I know one thing, that you've got to take good care of the source. I'm here today to help the church take care of their source. Amen. This is a marvelous church, a glorious church. Hallelujah. A massive river has two great potentials, and one is the ability to bless, and the other is the ability to destroy. We as born-again children of God that are baptized in Jesus' name and standing upon the rock that will not tremble beneath our feet, we have the potential to bless, amen. But we also have a potential to be able to destroy. We have, as Christians, have a marvelous potential to do things for God and to do exploits for God. But at the same time, we have the potential to do negative things and things that are hurtful. I love to stand within the congregation of the saints and to observe the working and the moving of the Spirit of God. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. The Bible said, there be not many wise among you. There be not many noble among you. In that setting of Scripture, He's explaining those that He is going to use. He is explaining the tools that He is going to use. I don't know if this has ever came to your mind or if anyone's ever preached this to you, but we are the tools that is in the Master's hands. Can you give me an amen? We are kings unto God, and we are priests unto God, although be it our position today is more of that of a priest, or more of that which is in the lines of intercession, that we come to Him. Amen. The continual unfolding story of the Bible is a story of marvelous requests going up to God, or requests going up to God, and marvelous answers coming back down from God. Amen. We are God's tools. We are God's workship. Amen. We are the one that God is going to use, or you are the one. Amen. Through prayer, man, as it were, can reach into the heavens, and he can lay his hands upon the very controls that control the universe. Amen. And man is able to have an awesome power through relationship with God and prayer. Say amen. Amen. We must pray to be with God. We must pray to know God. We must pray to do exploits for God. We must pray to be used of God. Amen. I don't feel like I'm here today maybe with a message that would make you shout or run the aisle, but I feel like I have been with God, amen. And I feel like God has gave me something for the camp this morning, amen. Through prayer, the very obscure has became visible. Little men have became mighty men through prayer. Little men like Gideon, thy mighty man of valor. He would never won a battle. I don't know anything great that ever came out of him. But when the angel appeared, he did not just see him as he was, but he saw him as he shall be. Amen. When God today looks at you, he does not just see you as you are, but he sees you with your awesome ability. Amen. You have the ability to reach into the heavens. Amen. I'll go further than that. You have the ability, as it was, to step even into the presence of God. And the Bible said, with boldness, amen, that we might obtain mercy, amen. I feel like there's times when maybe even God has set his mind, but we have the ability to change the mind of God. The obscure has become visible through prayer. Little men have become great men. Little women like Hannah, who prayed until her breath was gone. But yet she prayed on. There was no words that were coming out of her. And she was just probably some groaning and some breath, or her lips were moving. But the man of God, when he looked, could not see anything coming out of her. But out of that prayer came forth Samuel, a mighty man of God, amen. A mighty prophet of God. When the prophet said, grant it unto her. I feel today that we have Samuels to be born among us, amen. All of the years of Samuel as the prophet of Israel, the Philistines never raised a sword. The Philistines never invaded a single city. Amen. It was blessed to have a Samuel. But I want you to know that Samuel was born of prayer. Amen. Maybe you could venture with me a little further and see him as he walked in the presence of God, as he was given to a temple to work there. I can see him maybe at night walking. God said, Mama said that you would be here, God. Mama said that you would speak to me. Mama said that you would be with me. Mama said that she would pray for me. As he walked that temple and had his hands, I believe, in the air, sacrifice was no doubt given. Sacrifice of prayer. Sacrifice of offering. Amen. And then the voice of God spoke. Hallelujah. And the man of God could not hear it, but the child heard the voice of God. Everybody will not hear it. Amen. Everybody will not heed it. Amen. But there's people today that want to rise up. Amen. They want the anointing of God to rest upon them. They want to be able to be used of God. Hallelujah. 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 We are not here today to overcome the reluctance of God, or a God that doesn't want to bless us. But we are here today to place ourselves in harmony with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When it comes to leading the church, I always like to keep things in a positive mode and in tune with God. I've been a few places that I've heard some things that made me feel like God didn't love me. I've heard some things that made me feel like God was almost against us and God was just waiting to whack me over the head or something like that. But personally, if I believed that God was like that, I would have a very hard time in my self-image. I'd have a very hard time in my inward being. I'm telling you, friend, God is not against us, but God is for us. God is with us. Amen. God wants to bless you. God wants to use you. Hallelujah. Prayer is our highest potential. Prayer is where our greatest power will be found. Prayer is where our battles are going to be won. Everything we do as a church must be saturated by prayer. Prayer is striking the winning blow. Amen. Before prayer, everything is difficult. Amen. But after prayer, it's really as easy as picking up the pieces, no matter how big it might be. Hallelujah. Somebody give me an amen. The Bible said there is power in the tongue. There's power to curse and to destroy. But there's also power to heal and to cure. Amen. It doesn't take much faith to moan and to groan. It doesn't take much faith to just, you might spend an hour and never really pray, just moaning and groaning. But it takes faith to say words to God. God loves words. Amen. Words are an expression of faith. Amen. God made it so you could pray and you can open up. We live in the days of Far Eastern meditation, but meditation doesn't give me the answer to prayer. I've got to open up what's on the inside. The answers are not in here. The answers are not in Johnny Nelson, but the answers are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to get beyond yourself. You got to get outside of yourself. Amen. You got to leave yourself. Amen. The Bible said, say words to God. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Words are an expression of faith. This is why Jesus said, say unto the mountain. Say it. Say unto the wind. Say unto the river. Say unto the snow. Whether if that be what it is, amen. Say unto the ungodly spirits that stand in your way. Speaking of that, a number of years ago, I remember an experience I had in Pasadena, California. This has been really quite a long while ago. But it seems very fresh right now as I stand in this pulpit. I went to church one night and I knelt down. I was assisting Brother Francis Mason many years ago. And I knelt down to pray. I knelt down to pray. There was a fellow that came into church. He knelt down to pray. And I immediately received a witness. The witness that I received, that this man was devil-possessed. Very clear witness. There was not any doubt about what I received. He didn't act up. He didn't do anything strange, but I knew it. God said it. That was it. A day or two later, he came over to my house, very sweet and very kind, and he said to me, I need help, and I don't feel like I ought to feel, and I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but But I just don't feel like I ought to feel. And I called him by name and I said, I want to help you, but I want to tell you what the Lord revealed to me. You do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have another spirit, and that's not the Holy Spirit that you've got. And as I said that to him, it was not a pause of time. He immediately stood up, and he was about 6'4", and you can tell that I'm not very tall. And I really didn't feel like I was a match for what was fixing to take place. This was in my front room. My children were all there. My wife was there. And the Spirit came over him, and I don't think he had absolutely any control at all. And he said, matter of fact, the devils were dancing in his eyes. He changed just like that. And he said to me, I guess he was saying it maybe to my wife or whoever was in the room, or maybe he was speaking to his father, the devil. I don't know what it was. He said, can you believe he said to me, you have a devil? And he came up at me and he reached for my throat and he started coming across the room toward me. And when he did, I just felt the power of God come upon me. Say amen. You better stay full of the power of God. Amen. You never know what you're going to run into around the corner. And as he began to walk toward me, I felt the power of God just come down and the current of God. And I really actually said, I don't want him to touch me. And when I said that, he lunged towards me. When he lunged, it was like he hit this invisible wall of glass. And as he hit it, he almost fell to the ground. He went backwards. He was so shocked. He looked at me and it just all refired up again, like he was madder than the first time and more determined. And he dove at me the second time. And as he reached or lunged toward me, he just hit this invisible presence of God. Hallelujah. This invisible wall of glass. To make a long story short, the third time he done this, he just fell as it was on his knees and wilted before me and started begging God for the real baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When your statements are backed by prayer, they become so powerful. Amen. Words moves the heart of God. Words is an expression of faith. Prayer puts you in partnership with God. Hallelujah. This is a covenant relationship between you and God. Amen. And it is maintained by prayer. Can I say it and no one be offended at me? How slow we are to learn that we cannot improve upon the ways of God. Amen. The ways of the Spirit of God are above the ways of man. They're above the things of man. Hallelujah. God is a great God. Give me an amen. How many had God answer prayer for you and come to your rescue when you needed God to come to your rescue? Say amen. I like a little bit of feedback. It makes it a little nicer for me. Maybe that's a hang-up or something else, but I like to know you're with me out there. Praise God. Moses was a great deliverer. Oh, hallelujah. When I think of probably the greatest pastor there ever was, my mind goes to the Old Testament, and I see a man that is climbing a mountain. Amen. Somebody's got to climb the mountain into the presence of God. Amen. Somebody's got to bring the power of God back down. Amen. Somebody's got to hear from God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And I see this great mighty man of God as he is climbing. Amen. And he is ascending and going forward. Hallelujah. And we find that this great man of God, as he stands in the presence of God, and he's so wonderfully used of God. Moses knew how to pray wonderful prayers, but I got news for you. God knew how to give wonderful answers to those prayers. Hallelujah. There might be somebody here today that says, Brother Nelson, I like what you say, I believe what you say, but I'm just not much of a mountain climber. I'm not just very good. Amen. Well, I got news for you. My God is a great booster. How long ago someone said to me, I've been falling. I answered him, I said, well, just be sure you fall toward God. Hallelujah. God is a great booster. Amen. The story of the Bible from beginning to end illustrates a beautiful truth that God hears and God answers prayer. I want to say this. I believe in prayer. Do you believe in prayer? Come on, smile at me a little bit. Turn around to someone and say, I believe in prayer. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Prayer should be the main business of a Christian's life. Amen. The more we understand prayer, the more we understand God. And the more we understand God, the more we want to pray. Prayer puts us in contact with God, and prayer also keeps us in contact with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. I'm feeling the presence of the Lord. There is a tendency today to lose sight of a man, to sink a man into a plan or into a organization. I have noticed that men that might not be able to by themselves are able to climb very far within a framework of an organization. And I've noticed men that are greatly used of God, they might not allow themselves to go very far in a framework. And there's nothing wrong with a framework. We need an organization. I'm not saying, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying to you is there's a plan, probably of the enemy, to sink man into a framework or into the organization. It could be the church, it could be this, it could be that, it could be a job, it could be any other organization. Amen. But God's plan is not to sink man into the background. But God's plan is to make much of a man, far more of a man than of anything else. Men are God's methods. Did you hear me? Men are God's methods. Amen. The church is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men. Hallelujah. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better organization or more mechanics, but what we need today is men and women of real prayer, heartfelt prayer, fervent prayer. Men that will ask, men that will seek, men that will knock. Amen. I don't believe that the Lord missed it when he said, I would that you pray. Amen. I believe there was another place he asked that men would pray. Amen. Hallelujah. The church is looking for better men, but God is looking for, the church is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men. What the church needs today is not more more mechanics, but it needs better men. The Holy Ghost does not flow through mechanics, but the Holy Ghost flows through men. We work so hard building the methods. We have to have buildings to worship in. It takes so much to build a building, but buildings are not going in the rapture. Men are going in the rapture. Methods are not going in the rapture, but men are going in the rapture. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now, he does not anoint plans, but he anoints men of prayer. Hallelujah. Thank God. The man makes the Christian, but God must make the man. The man, if necessary, or the message the man brings, if possible, should be greater than the man that preaches the message. Amen. Amen. The messenger, if possible, should be great, even greater than the very message. I don't believe you can really improve on the message. That's not what I'm saying. But God wants to make men powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't believe in dead church. It's never God's will for it to be dead. It's never God's will for it to be without life. Amen. The preacher must be more than a sermon. Being a Christian is not the performance of an hour, but is the outflow of a life. It takes 20 years to make a sermon because it takes 20 years to make a man. That's the reason. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The sermon kills because the man is not alive. Amen. Or the sermon gives life because the man is alive. The sermon grows because the man grows. The sermon is forceful because the man is forceful. The sermon is holy because the man is holy. The sermon is full of divine unction because the man is full of divine unction. Amen. The message that we bring in itself does not have life-giving force outside of the individual. But when the man is anointed, the sermon is anointed. Give me an amen. The message is hid behind the man. Or the testimony is hid behind the woman. Amen. But when we lay hold upon God in real prayer, the message, the testimony, whatever it might be, becomes very awesomely powerful. Hallelujah. Thank God. It is not great talent or great learning or great preaching that God is looking for, but great people. People that are rich in love. Hallelujah. Rich in hope. Hallelujah. Rich in the mercies of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. You don't have to be on the liberal left. You don't have to be on the radical right. You can be down the center of the road with Jesus Christ, with balance. Hallelujah. With the touch of God upon your heart and your life. Amen. I personally believe it. There's a crowd on the left. There's a crowd on the right. And I've been doing my best for all these years to just stay in the middle with Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jacob's victory of faith could have not been gained without wrestling with the angel. It was flesh against spirit, and it was spirit against the flesh. But he persisted on with importunity. He went further with importunity. I don't know a good way to explain importunity to you, but I got up this morning. I was getting ready to come to church. I went outside. I sat in a chair. It was nice and cool there, and there was a watermelon on the table, and my grandson, who's 3 years old, his name is Christopher, and he said, "Papa, I want that watermelon." Amen. And he just kept going on. And I'm trying to study, Brother Brown. "Papa,
you getting the message? Popoff? Popoff? I had to go to church. But if I'd had time, I'd have took a knife and cut that watermelon and give that little baby the heart right out of that watermelon. Amen. We're not here to overcome a reluctant God that doesn't want to bless you. How much more willing is your Heavenly Father to give, willing to give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? Amen. Come on, worship a little bit. I need to feel you out there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Importunity. And he just kept saying, finally, I had to go to church, but I looked back. I said, when Papa gets back, he'll cut that watermelon. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know where this came from, and I feel totally loose now, so hallelujah, I'm going to enjoy it. Amen. When Jesus gets back, he's going to cut that watermelon. You've been asking, you've been seeking, you've been knocking, and there's people in this camp that came here with a burden on your heart. I'm going to tell you, honey, keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on telling God. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Woo! Ha-ha. Hallelujah. Amen. What Jesus is saying to the camp today is never give up. I'm going to avenge you. I'm going to undertake for you. I'll build your churches. I'll save your unsaved husband. I'll do whatever you need. I'm a greater God than what your vision is. I'm a greater God than what your dream is. Woo. Glory! Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on and worship a little more. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. You know what? God's people want to pray. They just need someone to say, let's pray. Go ahead, pray a little bit. It's all right. This is what we're preaching about. This is what we're leading you to. God will not leave you delusioned. God has not vacated you. God's on your side. Faith honors God and God honors faith. Faith puts you on God's side and God is delighted to have you on His side. God is honored to have you on His side. It's God's desire. You're tickling the heart of God right now. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I guess you can be seated. Jacob's victory of faith could not have been gained without wrestling with the angel. Amen. It was a persistent spirit, an importunity that would not be denied. I can almost hear something from... This is really getting on a thin spot, but almost like God said. Okay? Now, God wanted Jacob to keep praying. I'm not saying... maybe I better change that. If ever I put that on God. If I say flesh, you'll understand it. But anyways, there was a voice that said, go home, Jacob. Go home, Junior. Who do you think you are? But he pressed on. And he pressed on. Hallelujah. He might have been a no good scoundrel before, but I found something in the book that said that God loved him. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Jacob wasn't perfect. Jacob was all mixed up. Jacob was kind of like some of us that are here in this camp meeting. We might not have got it all right the first time or the second time, but there was something in this we had to get back up and go back on. I feel like that prophet a little bit. I've been down so many times, Brother Brown. All I knew to do was just get back up. All I knew to do was wipe back off. All I knew to do was just stand up and heard about the guy that he was looking through the knot hole in the fence. He was driven through the knot hole in the fence. And after he was driven through the knot hole in the fence, I know this sounds impossible, but the story I read, it said he got up. Sometimes as Christians, you feel like you look through the knot hole, you've been drugged through the knot hole, you've been to the knot hole, you've been on the bottom. But I'm going to tell you something, honey, just get right back up. There's a devil in your pathway, live for God anyways. There's a problem in your pathway, live for God anyways. You lost your job, live for God anyways. No matter what you're going through, just get back up. Woo! Somebody yell glory. Hallelujah. Thank God. Jacob's life was not changed by dreams. Jacob's life was not changed by visions. But when he laid hold upon God in real, earnest, effectual prayer, it changed his life. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, thank you, Lord. There was a ladder to heaven and angels descending and angels ascending back up. I think of that this way. The angels are like God coming down to hear our petitions or to receive our petitions and then to take them back up. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the days of varied values. Things are measured by whether or not they produce the intended result. Men are looking for mechanics of success in a push-button world, but you're never, ever going to improve upon God. Hallelujah. The cry of our day is for the easy route. If you want to make a lot of money, invent anything that is easier or invent anything that will save another person some time, and I guarantee you, you can get rich off of it. Amen. The spirit of our day is no pain. The spirit of our day is I'll do it my way. Amen. The spirit of our day is compromise if necessary. Take the road of least resistance. Amen. This is the spirit of our day. Amen. You may improve upon things of life, but you'll never ever improve upon the power and the plan of God. You'll never ever improve upon prayer. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, a man can pray. If a man can pray, he can do anything. He has heaven and earth at his disposal. Amen. Prayer has brought healing to many. Amen. It has brought speech to the dumb, healing to the deaf, eyes to the blind, and salvation to so very, very many. Amen. Never, ever give up. Amen. Never, ever give up. There's a lady in our church that is just, I don't know how to describe her. There's some people that are in your church that I don't know that you're responsible for what God does in any way. God just puts those good folks in the church. You know what I'm talking about? There's people that all of us as pastor don't even feel worthy to pastor some of the beautiful people that we pastor. Her name is Christine Veach. For 20 years, she has prayed for her husband to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And hear about it a while ago back, he started coming to church, not just once a year, Christmas, or when his children sang, but he really started coming to church, but he was terribly bound by nicotine. I think it's all right to say that. I don't think he would be offended for me to say that. And he was one of those men that you call work day, and when Holy Ghost people didn't show up, Michael or Mitch Veach would show up. And this man, every time I ever called him, he's a plumber by trade, I'd say, Mitch, the water fountain doesn't work, or Mitch, this needs to be done, that needs to be done. He is one of those men that every church, has one of them somewhere in the background. And you think to yourself when you lay down at night, my, if that man would ever receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what would he become? I mean, his daughters are dynamo for God. His wife is a literal, I don't know if the dynamo explains it. She just a number one, and you can tell her I said so. And there's people here from East Valley, you'll testify with me that this woman really is a number one. Last Sunday, Brother John Hopkins, who's going to be preaching the Spanish camp, happened to be preaching for us in our Sunday church service. And as he was preaching for us, he didn't know the difficulties and how long this man had been seeking for the Holy Ghost. He just did one of those bold things that you don't normally do. He called every man in the church up on the platform, and Mitch just kind of got ushered up with everybody else. He turned around and just threw his hand on his head and said, in the name of Jesus. And Mitch Veach received the baptism of the Holy Ghost after 20 years. Preacher, you be encouraged. God's going to give you people. God will give you houses to live in. He'll build churches for you. He'll answer your prayers. If you've got an unsaved husband, be encouraged. Never give up. Never give up. Woo. I think I'm close to out of time. And my Lord, praise God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. I said, Christine, how long have you been praying for your husband? Just trembling, tears running down your cheeks. You got to be Holy Ghost to understand this stuff. Amen. Just Holy Ghost filled. Amen. Well, you know what I mean. Thank God. Tears running down her cheek. I've been praying for my husband for 20 years. Hallelujah. I'm so glad she didn't stop one prayer short. I'm so glad she didn't stop one prayer meeting short. Oh, church, today, don't give up. whole mission. Pastor, don't give up. I know a God that is able. Hallelujah. I know a God that is able. I like those words. That's what Daniel said to the king. He said, there is a God in heaven, and He is able. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If prayer is anything, prayer is absolutely everything. If in your church, I'm not trying to preach to the pastors, but God gave me this, so I'm going to say it. If in your church you announce a choir is going to be there and 300 people attend church, but in that same church you announce a prayer meeting and 20 or 30 people is in church, you need a prayer meeting more than you need a choir. Amen. There is a pressure today upon the ministry, and it's a pressure to perform. Every pastor knows what I'm talking about. Every pastor knows the feeling of being in church and ready to maybe go in a certain direction. And as he turns to go in that direction, there's that certain catch. The people expect preaching tonight. Amen. Praise God. But you know what? So many, many times we have geared ourselves to come and to receive something, when really what God wanted was us to come and give something to Him. God wants us to come and give something unto Him. It's a bold thing to say that words conquer God. It's a bold thing to say. Go ahead and play. I appreciate that. It's a bold thing to say that a man has the ability to even stop God in His tracks, but man does have the ability. One time God said to His man, Moses, He said, you just step aside here. I'm going to curse them, but I'm going to bless you. I'll make a brand new nation out of you. And I'll raise it up from your seed. It wouldn't have been Adam and Eve. It would have been Moses. Amen. I guess Genesis might have begun with Moses or something like that. But Moses, he moved in upon God. He moved in on God, and when he moved in on God, he stopped God as it was. God wanted him to step aside. He would destroy the whole nation of Israel. But Moses moved in on God through prayer. And it wasn't long until he was changing the mind of God. Amen. The story of Abraham and Lot is a story. You think it's all told for Lot, but it's really told so you could get the story and the picture here, how a man had power through prayer. Lot didn't deserve the good blessings that God was giving him. Lot didn't deserve the mercies of God that spared him. Amen. But there was a man that prayed by the name of Abraham. He didn't take the best land, but he took the hard land. And he took that wasn't so good. Lot made a wrong decision, and a wrong decision led in the wrong direction. The wrong direction always leads to a wrong destiny. And there he was setting, plunged deep into the destiny that he had built for himself. But there was a man that interceded for God for Lot. His name was Abraham. God made up his mind he was going to destroy the cities of the plains, but Abraham moved in on God and arrested God as it was. And he got so close to God because words have power, amen. Heartfelt words, amen. Words, amen. What is that word? That word that unites a far separated soul to the common altar of a mercy seat, amen. That brings men's storm-driven ship into the haven of rest and peace. What is that word that turns back the shadow of death? Amen. What is that word, I ask you, camp? What is that word that gives a song in the night and lifts the load? Amen. When your heart is crushing underneath the pain. Amen. What is that word that puts a sword in a Christian's hand in the hour of temptation to be able to go forward and onward and on and on and on? Amen. What is that word that gives strength in the night and helps us with our burdens? What is that word that fortifies the soul when we kneel at the cup of our own Gethsemane and agony? Amen. What is that word that lifts us up when we have fallen down? What is that word that brings angels down from heaven to hear it ministered upon your lips? Amen. What is that word that drives back the devil, as it were, and makes us co-workers with God? What is that word that recalls the wonder from the far country? What is that word? Amen. That is the best physician for the body and the soul. Amen. Which when it spoke upon man's lips means so very much to God. What is that word that is the essence of companionship for the very soul in the hour of loneliness and a comfort to us in the days of sorrow? What is the word that sets a lamp of forgiveness and reconciliation in the window for the prodigal and for the wonder? Amen. That brings the erring one back again. What is the word that makes angels rejoice? Amen. It is a watchful word. Amen. The word that we will want to have upon our lips as we reach the gates of death and thereon. Amen. What is that word, that mighty word, that God-prevailing word, that word that is so powerful? That word is prayer. Amen. Thank God. I want you to stand and lift up your hands together. I believe in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank God. I believe in prayer. I remember in 1967, around the first of the month of June in 1967. I was walking out of a grocery store. I do not know why in the world I said this. I hadn't seen this particular woman in a long time. She was a Pentecostal grandmother with a granny knot upon her head, a long dress. Actually, she was my own grandmother, but I hadn't seen her in a long time. I had been gone to the army, and I came home, and I just happened to run into her. I don't know why I said this to her, but I looked at her, and I said these words, "Grandma, would you pray for me? I need to go to church." Why in the world I said that? I walked down the sidewalk, Brother Brown, not knowing why I said that. I never said nothing like that in all of my life. It was not premeditated. Little did I know she went to a little old Pentecostal church, 3212 Stanislaus Street, Riverbank. Can anything good come out of Riverbank? I hope so. Amen. Praise God. Brother Martin, as I walked down that sidewalk, I thought, why did I say that? But I laid in my bed. A few nights had passed by. I did not know she was going to that church and every service saying, "Pray for Johnny, my grandson. Pray for Johnny, my grandson." I'm talking to a grandma right now. I was laying there in bed. I'd been out doing probably what I shouldn't have been doing. And it was late. And as I was laying in bed, the voice of God came into my room. And the voice of God spoke to me clearly and audibly and so understandably. And it was so forceful to my heart. And I never knew anything about God. I never knew anything about Jesus. And there was a big television at the end of my bed. And there was probably liquor in my car. And my daddy was an alcoholic for 50-something years. I don't know if anybody knows my daddy, but my daddy just got baptized in Jesus' name. He's almost 90 years old, but God is going to fill my daddy with the Holy Ghost. Because my mama never quit knocking, never quit asking, never quit seeking. Praise God. Never give up. God spoke to me with an audible voice and said, "I want you to serve me." I don't have time to tell you what all took place in the next few days and how he came again and spoke to me and said, "I want you to serve me." And it left me for like 2 and 3 hours. I was fighting off the Spirit of God, laying on my bed. I don't think you know how it really feels to be so unclean and have righteousness come and wrap its arms, as it were, around you and hold on to you. And I fought off the presence of God until daybreak. As I fought off the presence of God, he came back again and said, "I want you to serve me." And he added this phrase, and he said, "I want you to go to church." Something resigned. I believe in prayer. I was in camp meeting 1967. I'd won my mother to God. Before camp meeting, she slapped me across the face. She didn't want to ever go to that church again. She didn't ever want to have anything to do with this Pentecostal people. She had her makeup, and she had her this, and she had her that, and she had her diet pills. And on and on and on. But she was miserable inside. She was married to an alcoholic. She had lost 3 children. She was miserable inside. She had been through 7 major operations. She was miserable inside. I remember in the month of August, 1967, this really did happen. I was in camp meeting. This was Beulah Park. The building was filled all the way to the back. People were standing everywhere you could stand, even against the walls on the side. They were on the porch out in front of Beulah Park. I have a feeling they were in the parking lot even, because they couldn't all fit in the building. I think it only helped about 1,200 people. And what happened that night? I was just a new convert. I thought everybody saw it. I saw a Shekinah glory cloud of God back in the back corner. And it came down over the congregation. And as it came over the congregation, I noticed it wasn't just above them, but it just came all the way down. And as I looked amidst of the glory cloud, I could still see the people, but you could see this beautiful kind of a bluish gray mist. And it was so very thick. And everywhere that glory cloud moved, people underneath it was receiving the Holy Ghost, and the power of God was there. I watched the cloud come up this left side, and it started, believe it or not, in the back right-hand corner. And it came up this side, and it engulfed the entire side. And I was sitting right over here as it began to move across the auditorium. My mother was a hunchback lady. She had been hunchbacked all of her life. It took 30 minutes for her to get out of bed in the morning. She actually slept on a board. And here I was, just a young man. My brother was on one side. I was on the other. I'd want my brother to God. I'd want my cousin to God. I'd want my sister-in-law to God. I want my aunt to God. I want my uncle to God. I want everybody I could win to God. And I was trying to build a church all by myself for Brother Dansby. I loved my pastor. My pastor's went on to be with God, but he was a man of prayer. He was a man that didn't have the great abilities that some men have, but he maximized every ability he had, and I think God did a pretty good job with him. He really did. He might not have been a great orator, but I'm going to tell you something. My pastor was a man of prayer, and when he died and I saw him in his casket, it came to me that God maximized what he had because he yielded it to God in prayer. I'm telling you, pastors, it's not your great ability. I'm telling you, churches, it's not how much money you have in the bank. God delights in taking ordinary people and doing fabulous works. Amen. God is using ordinary people to change a world and turn it upside down. That glory cloud came across that front. My hunchback mother lifted up her little hands, and her back was way, way, way bowed. And the glory cloud just came over us, and I couldn't stand it no longer. I was just going, can I say it? Nuts in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You got to be Pentecostal to understand that. And I was jumping up and down. I was having me a time. I was dancing. But when I turned around and I looked, my brother was on the other side. He was jumping up and down. We both looked at each other and we saw Mama between us. Mama's hands were up in the air straight. Her hunchback was straight. Someone from the outside said there was a fiery glow over the tabernacle and camp meeting 1967. There was a presence of God on the inside, a Shekinah glory. They said there was literally a ball of fire burning above that building. The watchman on the outside. Wouldn't it be great tonight if a ball of fire set upon this camp meeting? It won't happen without prayer. If we will pray, God will act. If we will pray, God will move. My hunchback mother was standing straight for the very first time. She was speaking in tongues for the very first time. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. What could I say more unto you? But he in the days of his flesh that prayed with groanings and utterances said, my house shall be called the house of prayer.